Hello, radio friends. Welcome to a Back to the Bible radio broadcast, an outreach ministry of the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church. My name is Pastor Philip Youngblood, and we want to thank you for tuning in today, and we pray that the broadcast is a blessing to you as you listen.
We're looking this week at the subject from salvation to serving, and we have looked at some thoughts here out of Acts chapter number 9, and I'm going to read verses 17 and 18. And this has to do with when Ananias had met Saul. The Bible says, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it were, as it had been, scales. And he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized." We've been looking this week at the thought he received his sight, and then we looked at how that he made himself available to do God's will, and we focused on the value of one. We are looking now at verse number 18. The Bible speaks about that he arose, and he got up. The Bible says, "And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but he led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus." This time we're going to go to a live recording from the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church. This is going to be part number 3 of the message. When he gets up, however, yes, he's having to be led, but he's no longer the same man. He gets up different than he went down. I want you to notice verse number 18. Verse number 18, we see that Saul has received his spiritual sight, but then also God restores his physical sight. But notice where he was at. If you'll notice the text, God tells Ananias that Saul's going to be praying. He's on his knees and he's praying to God. He's never done that in the past in the sense of relationship. Now he is there. He's talking to his new Savior, amen. And Saul finds him in a place, in position where he's down, and he is praying to Almighty God. That's a place of submission. I give it all to the Master. If you're going to be used of God, friend, you're going to have to give yourself to him. When we lose sight of this world, when we get our eyes on Jesus, We begin to see the purpose that God has for our life. How that God can use your physical life to do spiritual things. You ever thought about that? Every one of us is in a physical body. We can make the decisions to do things worldly. You made a decision to come here tonight. You could have been anywhere else. You might have, tonight, had you not made the decision to come here, we had the decision to make the decision to be in a bar tonight. We have a decision to be somewhere else doing something worldly, but you made a decision to come here tonight. I don't take that lightly. I want to invest the time in the ministry so that you leave here with something. God can use your physical life to do spiritual things. You guys done some spiritual things tonight. When you got up and sang in that choir tonight, boy, I'm going to tell you something, I know this. When you finally got plugged in, boy, when you get it plugged in right, this is what happens. You start seeing a smile come on your face, amen, and a joy to your soul, amen, and things begin to happen, amen. We've had the world, man, we've had all these things happen to us all day long. I mean, we've heard this person and that person, and everybody whine about life, and we come in here and we're kind of carrying that stuff, and it takes 2 or 3 songs before we can finally get to worshiping. But if you have to get plugged in, man, it's on, praise God. It's on. Boy, I tell you, God loves it. Listen, notice this. This is what we become. This is what Saul became. Saul became a vessel. Did y'all see that in the text? Saul became a vessel. You say, preacher, what is a vessel? Well, a vessel has the ability to be poured in, but it also has the ability to be poured out. It can become a help to somebody else, you see. And if you let God pour into you, what you need to do is pour out into others. Just like that cup, amen. And when you get excited and start bubbling over, guess what? It creates something in the people around you. They begin to see something different in your life. I got to go on. Notice verse number 18. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. That word forthwith means immediately, without delay. I'm glad God don't have to take years to do things. He restored his sight immediately. We've seen that Saul received his sight. We've seen that how that he arose. But let's close. Let me give you some closing thoughts concerning his baptism. Jesus said, told us in Matthew chapter number 28, he told his disciples in verse number 19, this is what he said. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. What? Baptizing them in the name of who? The Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. I find it amazing, but nearly 2,000, I guess over 2,000 years ago, that command was given to us, and we're still observing it today. But what do we learn tonight when it comes from baptism? Say, preacher, this is simplistic. I know, but some people don't even know who Adam and Eve is. What are we learning from baptism? What's the point of baptism? What are we learning? Well, Saul, the Bible said that Saul was baptized. And if he was baptized by the disciples, he was baptized the way that Jesus was baptized. And so salvation always, get this down, write this down. Salvation always comes before baptism. You'll never find in this Bible where it's right for infant baptism. You'll never find it in the Scripture. Not in the Word of God. No, you're not going to find it there. Every single time, you'll find salvation and then baptism. You think about Philip. He was preaching that great meeting. And then he had that one, amen, that fellow man is there. He was there by the chariot. He was reading the book of Isaiah. Y'all remember that? And he begins to ask Philip. He said, how about leading me through this scripture? And Philip led him through that scripture, and he got gloriously born again with the grace of God. And then he said, can I be baptized? And they got out right then, and they went and got baptized. Salvation, then baptism. Baptism illustrates some things. As a believer, it identifies us with Christ. You say, how does it do that? It identifies with Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. You say, how is that, preacher? Well, if you'll remember, in baptism, you're standing there. Christ dies. He's buried, placed in a tomb. Remember that? But on the third and glorious morning, what took place? He arose. It's significant because it identifies us with Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Romans chapter number 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life. So the actions of being immersed under the water are significant of the fact that, hey, that we've been covered over, that we've died with Christ, and the old man is dead, praise God. When God raises me in newness of life, and now I'm no longer the man that I used to be, but I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. The text that we're dealing with tonight, salvation to serving. The first steps Saul takes is baptism. He's walking in obedience to the command of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and gets baptized by the glorious grace of God. Now, I want to say this tonight. We've seen Saul go from salvation to serving. He's received his sight. He arose. He was baptized. But now in verse number 19, I want you to see his training for just a moment. I'm done, I promise you. And when he had received what? Meat. He was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days. This is what I want you to see tonight. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. What does that mean, preacher? He was certain days with some disciples. What are these disciples? These disciples are who? They're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Disciples were people who spent some time with the Lord, who had been instructed on the Word of God, who had been instructed on the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, and understood his death, burial, and resurrection. these disciples knew something about Jesus. And that's what the Jews had trouble with. Remember, the Jews were the one that placed Jesus upon the cross. While not physically doing it, it was their ideas, it was their emotions that done those things. The Bible said in John chapter number 1, he came to his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And they couldn't get a glimpse, because of the religious side, they couldn't get a glimpse, and they wouldn't accept Jesus as the Savior, as the Messiah. But we find this terrorist who was running for those Jews. Now he's standing there, born again, a child of the King. He's been baptized by the grace of God. Death, burial, and resurrection. Now he's identifying as a believer. He's now identifying as a son of God. And this is what takes place. He spends some time in training. We are failing in this area. The Christian faith is failing in this area. Every single one of us ought to be equipped to know how to win somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe the word winning's not appropriate. Maybe I should say it this way. Every single one of us ought to be able to take a Bible and show somebody else how to be gloriously saved with the grace of God. We ought to be able to take that Bible, walk up to the plan of salvation, and say, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? We are failing in the areas of training disciples. I'm talking about this. You ought to be able to lead your own class at the house. You ought to be able to invite your friends over. You ought to be able to have a Bible study at your home. You ought to be able to sit down and talk to each other one-on-one and say, hey, I tell you, and fellowship around the things of God. You ought to be able to do that, amen. We're failing to make disciples. And these disciples, you know what they did? They invested what they knew into Saul of Tarsus. Notice the text. Verse number 19. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. That certain days, they weren't sitting around. That certain days, they were teaching him what the Word of God had to say about Jesus. Notice verse number 20, and we're done. You could say that Saul went through discipleship 101 in them certain days. Look at what the Bible says in verse 20. After this training session, you say, preacher, what about college? I'm not talking about college. I'm talking about having the ability, having the scriptures memorized to where you can lead your neighbor to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about. Being like Philip, who spoke to the eunuch and knowing exactly where to go, the Ethiopian eunuch. And knowing exactly where to go in the scriptures to give them help and aid. The Bible said to study to show thyself approved. Well, that's only the preachers. Oh, no, don't go there, friend. If you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've been born again, you are a disciple. Amen. You're to be ministering to people around you. Yes, you may not be in an official status of preaching before a congregation, but we're to do it every day. And this is the thing. The world really wants you to talk about it. But you gotta be keen on how that you approach it. Look at verse number 20 one more time. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. At the beginning of this chapter, he railed out threatenings and slaughter, dragging them out for speaking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the time we get to verse number 20, after his conversion, after he's been baptized, after he's been trained, this is what happens. Look at his life now. Without reserve. Now, he's not had the formal trainings. But after this is what takes place. He stands up at the synagogues and begins to proclaim who the Son of God is. This is what Saul of Tarsus could say. I met him. I know him. But I not only know him, he knows me.
Thank you for tuning in to another Back to the Bible radio broadcast. We would like to invite you to come out and be a part of our church. We are located at 71 Hoopers Creek Church Road. That's in Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. If you'd like to write us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 1856, Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. Also, check us out on the World Wide Web at hooperscreekbaptist.com or download our church app where you can get the verse of the day and enjoy some great preaching and singing from our choir. Have a great day. Tune in tomorrow for another Back to the Bible radio broadcast.